Good evening. I'm going to start with, I desperately need your prayers this evening. It's always a humbling experience for me to stand up here and speak on behalf of the Lord. And anyway, I need your prayers. I've written on the board, open door policy. Have you ever had a boss or maybe a teacher or a professor that told you that? They have an open door policy. Come, you know, whenever you want, you can come ask me anything, you know, whatever you need, I've got an open door policy. Or maybe that's the company, you know, the spiel you get whenever you go apply or whatever, whenever your first day. You know, we have open door policy. There's no, you know, just come on in. If you any questions, there's no wrong questions. Have you ever had the feeling that that's not exactly true as well? Have you ever had someone tell you they got an open door policy, but by the attitudes and maybe the culture of the kind of reading between the lines that it's not actually an open door policy. I don't know if any of y'all have ever experienced that. I have experienced open door policy. When I was going to college, I have a specific example of it that I realized real quick that I had left some things on the table in previous classes that I had been a part of. And I'll be honest, I'm sure there's been other times in my life that I've left some things on the table because I wasn't willing to humble myself and take advantage of the open door policy. But I'll give one specific example. I was taking a class, I think it was thermodynamics. I was taking a class and the professor had a demeanor about him that wasn't real conducive to conversation or didn't feel like he was real open to changing his mind or even one-on-one guidance. It just kind of the way he came across. But one time I got an exam back and I did not do very well on it. And one of the questions was a multi-step question. So you had to, if you got this part wrong, that means that you got the rest of the problem wrong. And so I had gotten some steps wrong on the problem, but I was sitting there looking at it, I knew I had done a good portion of the problem right. It's just I had made an error somewhere else, and I was using wrong numbers throughout. But the concept, I had the principle right the whole way through, except for a couple of small errors at the beginning. And so I went to his office. I sat down and I decided, you know what? It's the worst he can do is tell me no, or he can't make me fail the test any worse than I already did. So, you know, I'm going to go and talk to him. So I did. I went, took advantage of his office hours, his open door policy. And we sat down and I showed him. I was like, look, this is what I did. And I feel like I should, you know, get some credit for doing, not a zero on this whole problem, because I think the problem was worth 30 points of the exam. And so as he was looking at it, he said, oh yeah, you did this right, and did this, you did this, and ended up giving me a passing grade by all the points he added back on, by me taking advantage of his open door policy. Other things I've experienced in my career has been, you know, maybe some of you who've worked for corporations, maybe a large facility, or maybe even just a smaller shop or something like that. Sometimes the owners or the plant manager, they almost come across as a celebrity. That, you know, you're honored to be able to speak to them. It's your privilege that you can be welcomed into their office, or it's, you know, you can kind of get that mindset sometimes and that feeling, and I've certainly felt that there was, you know, there's some of the companies I've worked for, the facilities, I felt like it was, you know, if I saw the plant manager coming, I should maybe, you know, take the other hallway so I didn't dirty the carpet. And, you know, that was kind of the mindset and the attitude that was pretty pervasive throughout the facility. But then there's another facility that I worked at that really made an impact on me. And the gentleman who was there, the plant manager, he's a very large framed man. He was tall and stocky. He was big. He was a big guy. But one of the sweetest, nicest men you'd ever meet. And he was the plant manager, and he had an open door policy, and he truly did have an open door policy. I remember times that I would just walk into his office, kind of knock on the door, and he had a big, spacious office, the way, you know, the plant managers and such do have, and I would walk in there, and we had swap hunting stories and fishing stories, and he loved to chat and to talk. And then he would come, I had at the time, I was early on in my career, he would come and make his rounds through the offices, and he'd come back to the shops, and he would come and sit in my little cubicle and just chat. That was something he made a point to do. He would come and make sure that he spent time with people. And he had truly an open door policy and was very helpful. And if he had come to me before and I was working on a pretty high profile project, and he came and sat down and he said, "Jared, is there anything that you need that I can help you with, that I can help you get? Is there anything?" Because he's a plant manager. He could pretty much make anybody do what he needed them to do. But the other side of that, he was a very kind and gentle man, but whenever something needed to be done, everybody listened to Lou. Whenever they knew that when he said something, he meant what he said, and it needed to be done the way he said for it to be done. It was just, he had that respect throughout the plant that people were willing to listen to him because he had that open door that if you have a question or a concern, you're welcome to come to him. And he had the demeanor. And like I said, there was times when there were some pretty sticky situations happening, and he commanded the room. He had people's respect whenever something less than desirable happened in the facility, and there had to be a little meeting of everybody saying, "We're not going to do it this way anymore." Everybody was quiet and was listening to Big Lou because he had that respect. Well, the Lord has been dealing with me recently a lot on how much I have been leaving on the table and not taking advantage of God's open door policy. I guess I want to bring this out as maybe an encouragement. I don't know if you want to take it as an admonition. However you take it. But the Lord has been working with me that I have been leaving some things on the table. He has made it clear that he has an open door policy. Come to me with your needs, with your desires, with your concerns. There's nothing too big or small. There's sometimes we can think of, you know, he's not going to worry about this little small thing, or he's not going to worry about, or maybe we contradict ourselves all the time if you really think about it. We won't go to him for the small things because it's too small. But sometimes we won't go to him with the big, huge, complicated things because it's impossible. There's any way this could work out. There's no way, I see the whole situation. There's no way that any good or anything could come of this situation. And so then we contradict, we build this little box of saying, "Well, Lord, you know, I'm sorry, you can't help me," because why? We our human mind, we're trying to place these little boundaries all over everything, and we don't even go to the office and say, "Lord, here's my exam," or "Here's my problem. I don't know what to do. I need you." And there's a specific scripture I'd like for us to read. It's in Hebrews 4. The Lord has challenged me with this recently, that He is our high priest. The scripture says that we have a great high priest. I didn't do a lot of studying into the high priest of the time, but I would expect that the high priest probably demanded some respect at that time. He was a pretty important person in the Jewish culture at the time. And so, saying we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, this is Hebrews 4 and 14, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. We have a high priest, someone who has authority, has the power and the authority. And he says, we have this high priest, and it's not someone who can't be touched with our infirmities, our problems, our desires, our concerns, our issues. It's not that he's not touched by those things. And he said, but was in all points tempted like as we are. He chose to come walk around down here. And, you know, I kind of tied into what I was talking about with, we called him Big Lou. He was so good to come around and visit with each one of his employees. He would visit shops. He would go out and see how the millwrights were doing. He would come sit and just chat and talk. How you doing? Is there anything that you need? Is there any concerns that you have? And it wasn't even time for our annual reviews. And he was several levels above our managers. Like you had my manager, and then there were several levels before you got to him. But he chose to walk around and say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? To a much greater extent, Jesus came down and walked this earth. And it says, so he was in all points tempted like as we are. One of the details I didn't go over with Big Lou is he started working there as an engineer and worked his way up till he went through the ringer to get to the place he was. He didn't just waltz in and become plant manager. He went through what I guess you'd say the boot camp to become a plant manager, and he knew and understood, especially because he was a mechanical engineer, so he knew, especially understood kind of our role and what we went through. I think that's kind of why he took a special interest in some of us. But Jesus says he was tempted in all the ways that we were, but yet without sin. So we have a high priest that understands. He said, we can go to him, say, Lord, and how special is it when you're going through something difficult and someone who you know has gone through the same situation with victory sends you a text or something and just says, I understand, I'm praying for you. Because you know that they do understand. You know, if someone who's lost someone, or that's a blessing to get something like that, saying, hey, I know what you're dealing with. I may not know every single thing, but I know what you're dealing with, and I'm praying for you. I love you. You're special. It's not all over. And Jesus is that high priest that we can go to. He said, I've got an open door. But so many times, well, I'm going to speak for myself. So many times we can look at it as, oh, well, he's God. He's the creator of this universe. So, you know, what's the magic word combination for me to, you know, I need to kneel down, I got to close my eyes, I got to make sure and say these words, I got to make sure and do this, all these things right to get the special password to get in to be able to speak to him in his throne room. No, he wants us just to say, well, let's read the next verse. It says, he's tempted all like as we are, yet without sin. So, because of all this, so let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Not flippantly and not, hey, pound on the table, give me what I want. Not that. That's not what it's talking about. But walk in. I've seen a depiction recently of someone who is kind of not making fun, but he was doing a little skit to demonstrate how we handle the Lord sometimes. It showed him, he was portraying, you know, us and pounded on the door. Ola, and he was saying all these fancy words, just pounded on the door, pound, 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 pound on the door. And finally, he is depicting, you know, as if God was come to the door and say, what do you need? And he's like, oh, and he'd go into this big long spiel of all these fancy words of what all he needed and just trying to act super humble, all these things. And he's like, well, why are you pounding on the door? And, you know, the man said, well, because you're the most high, honorable God, and you do all that. And he opened the door. He said, the door is unlocked. All you had to do was just walk in. You don't have to beat the door. And I know there's times, y'all, that we it's like we're pounded on the door. Lord, I need your help. I need your help. But the door is open. And sometimes it just takes us turning the doorknob and walking in and say, God, I'm here. And it may be just, that may be all we have to say is, Lord, here I am. I'm at a loss. And it says, your scripture says to come boldly to the throne of grace. So I'm walking in, Lord, here I am. He told us, therefore, come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And it doesn't say what need that is either, does it? It doesn't qualify, well, for in grace of time of, well, you know, it's okay for you to come in boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and help whenever, and list out a thing of things that we can ask for. That's not what it says. It says just grace to help in a time of need. Whatever it is. Lord, I have a hard meeting today at work. I don't know what to say. Lord, can you go with me? Or, Lord, I'm standing in a meeting right now. Everybody's looking at me. I'm supposed to be saying something. Can you help me? Lord, I've got to drive somewhere that I'm really uncomfortable driving. I don't like driving in big cities. Can you help me? Lord, I'm fixing to take a test. Can you help me? Lord, I'm fixing to go grocery shopping. And there's, help me to speak to someone, to smile at the right person today. Help me to say the right word to someone today. Lord, I'm fixing to go to church. What would you have me to do? Lord, if you want me to lead out in prayer, if you want me to call a song, if you want me to testify, that he wants us, he give grace in a time of need. Lord, I'm having a bad day. Everybody's making me angry. Everybody's being really annoying today. Will you help me? You know, he hears those prayers. And I've been guilty of this myself, of thinking, well, if I say all the right words and come to him with all the, not that we shouldn't come humbly before, but almost like there's a formula that if I do it just right, then he'll hear me. That's not how God is. He wants us to, well, I've talked pretty raw to God before. Like, God, I'm upset and I don't know what to do. And I think he hears that too. I know we have to be respectful. We know who we're talking to. But he also wants us to talk to him as a friend. Hey, God, I don't understand what you're doing. We have examples of, we don't, when it's written, and kind of like when you send a text and it's hard to see the emotion. I can't remember, I think it's Mary and then Zachariah. They both had a concern of, how are you going to do this? But there's two very different responses to that question. Mary questions, like, God, be to it, you know, I'm your handmaiden, be to it as you have said, but how is this going to happen, Lord? Instead of, God, really? So how are you going to do that? There's a difference in that. And so, yes, we have to be careful. But it also says to come boldly. Say, God, I'm coming to you honestly and openly and raw. Say, I don't know what to do. I have this problem that I'm scared. I'm confused. There's problems that I don't know how to fix. I'm angry. He wants to hear that. He wants to hear, just like, well, those of you who are parents or grandparents, or are you going to immediately, when a child comes running up to you and say, I'm upset, Are you going to say, well, that doesn't, just hush. We're not, you don't come to me and tell me that you're upset. Is that how we're going to handle it? Or are we going to say, okay, well, what's got you upset? What is it that's wrong? Because that, God is our Father. And He wants to hear whenever we have a concern, when we have, it says that we may find grace to help in time of need. I'm angry. Well, who better to tell that to than God? Hey, God, I'm angry. And I don't know what to do. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to say an ugly word to anybody. So, Lord, I'm coming to you. Say, I'm angry. And I need help. I need grace to help in this time of need. I'm upset. I'm sad. I'm depressed. I don't feel like you're talking to me right now, Lord. Like I said, obviously, we have to come. This coming boldly doesn't mean we come with a lack of respect. But there's no magic formula of words that we can say, most gracious heavenly. No, I'm not knocking that we shouldn't say that. But there's no magic formula, position, combination of words that we can come up with that's going to get us through to the throne. It's say, Lord, open the door and walk in and say, here I am, Lord. I'm here because I have a need. And it can't be... There's a caveat to this too. That can't be the only time we talk to Him. When we come running in, God, I have a need again. No, there should be these times of opening the door first thing in the morning. Hey, Lord, it's me again. Fixing to start my day. And I know I'm simplifying this, but I think you understand what I'm talking about. We don't have to always, we have to keep that relationship. That where when we walk in, it's God's looks and, oh, come on, what you got today? What is it that that's on your mind today? Please understand, God doesn't forget our names, but we don't want to come barreling in and He's like, what? Your name was, Jared, and you came to me, 2 weeks ago because you were upset at somebody? No, that shouldn't be how it is. It should be of, come on in. He sees that eagerness to serve. And whenever we come to Him with that that familiarity in a natural sense, when I realized that Big Lou was actually my friend too, that made it so much easier to go to his office and say, hey, look, I got a question for you. I have a problem. I want to see if you could help me with. I found that if I would have never taken advantage of that, if I would have always stood back and been scared of him, like, oop, that's the plant manager. Look, you go that way, I'll go this way. I'm going to keep my distance from you because you know you're over there and I'm down here. If we have the attitude about God. Look, I don't want to get too close because I'm afraid of what you're going to do to me. I'm afraid of your power. You know, you're God. I can't get too close because, you know, I'm not worthy. And no, we're nothing without Him. But He has called and asked us. He desires us to be in His throne room with Him and talking to Him and coming to Him with our needs, coming to Him with our not only our needs, but also our praise. Come in and say, Lord, yesterday, you know what you did? I noticed what you did. You found my keys for me. I never put them, you know, on my workbench behind the vise. And for some reason, that's where I put them, and you helped me remember that. Thank you, Lord. You know, that's also how He wants us to come running in. Say, Lord, have you ever had a child come busted in the door and say, Daddy, Daddy, guess what? I found whatever that may have been missing for a long time. Do you think that doesn't bring the Lord joy when we come running back in? Hey, I found it. And all the time, He's probably thinking, well, yeah, I helped, you know, but I'm so glad you came and expressed that to me. And He put His arm around you. And you have a moment with the Lord, and hopefully many moments with the Lord. My burden is that we don't leave those things on the table and just keep our distance because I'm afraid of going to him. That's not, Jesus came. That's the whole reason he came. It says that we have a great high priest that has passed unto heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's why he came. He came so that we could come run into the throne room and say, God, I got a question. I need you. I have a problem. Or, Lord, I messed up. I don't know how to fix this one, but I said something I shouldn't have. Or he wants to hear that too. He wants to hear us come to him with our concerns, our needs, and our praise. And Lord, help us, because I don't want to leave anything on the table. I want to take full advantage of what the Lord has for me. I want to take full advantage of his privileges of being one of his children. The scripture says we can't even, in our human mind, eye hath not seen nor ear heard. There's things way beyond what we can ever comprehend and understand, but I don't want to leave things on the table just because I'm scared to go to the door and turn the doorknob. That I'm scared to go knock on the door. No, go in. He's there with open arms. He says, come on in, child. Let's have a conversation. And I kind of just picture him putting me up on his knee and we have a little chat. And I've had all kinds of chats with the Lord. And I want to be faithful. And I want us all to fill our place in the body of Christ. Y'all pray for me.